Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, my guest is Robert Hoffman, author of now three hilarious books that we're going to be talking about. One of his latest is one that I read in like 45 minutes, the whole thing from start to finish, and you know that if I read them fast, they're good. It's called One Brain Cell Away from Retarded. Yes, that was the name of the title, One Brain Cell Away from Retarded. Robert Hoffman, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
How you doing tonight?
How are you today, Nate?
I am doing excellent. I'm just like flying. What about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I've been anxiously awaiting this this interview like a fat girl waiting for a phone call, so glad to be here.
Okay, listen, I've read all three books. I'm going to tell the audience the names of all three of them. Your first book was Surrounded by Insanity. Your second book was called An Ordinary Madness. And the third one, One Brain Cell Away from Retarded. Now, Insanity, Madness, Insanity, Retarded, what's going on here?
Oh, it's everything about my life. It's like things that happened to me. These are basically memoirs. Everything is based on things that happened in my life. My friends have been included in these books. My family, I'm surprised anybody even talks to me anymore.
I am too.
It's that kind of thing. It's where, I just write about anything that's happened to me in my life from childhood right up to the present. My partner can't even show his face in public anymore because there are stories in there that he's just embarrassed to read.
Uh-huh. Well, I could, let's dish on your partner, okay?
Sure.
You can tell I've read the book, okay? The White Trash. Come on. Tell me about Michael's Michael is his real name?
Yeah, Michael is his real name. I've only changed the names in one of the books, but yeah, Michael's his real name.
Oh, my God, you are so brave.
Brave? I don't know. It's my life, you know? It took me a while to get to a point where I had time to sit down and start writing. And I got to point in my life where I had a lot of extra free time, and I sat down. And I said, you know what, I'm going to, I've, for 10 years, my partner and I and two other friends of ours, we put on these elaborate Halloween presentation shows.
Uh-huh.
And we would, for 10 years, it encompassed basically January till October till Halloween. I would write them, I would direct them, I would choreograph them, I would make the sets, I would costume them, and it would just be basically the four of us and maybe a couple of people would come in. When those finally ended about 6 years ago, I said, well, now I have all this free time. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So I sat down and I started writing my first book, and it took off from there. You know, I've had some readings. I've had some good feedback from the gay magazines like Instinct, and just thrilled with the reception.
Good. Let me talk about a reading. Well, it's time for a small commercial break. As you know, I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archives at 1300 East Sunrise Boulevard, located two doors west of Hustler. That's where everyone will find it, right? And this Tuesday,
how are you going to miss it?
That's how I tell people to find it. They never lose it if I say the word Hustler. Anyway, Robert will be appearing live in our library Tuesday, October the 11th at 7 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. That's, again, 1300 East Sunrise Boulevard. Put that in your GPS. You'll find it. It's the Stonewall National Museum and Archives. That is America's largest gay and lesbian museum, archive, and book collection.
And if you've never been there, you got to go. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. It's just gorgeous, and it's got everything you could possibly want as far as gay literature goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just gorgeous. I was in there for the first time just a few months ago because I only moved down here back in December. It's almost a year now, but I only moved down here back in December. But it's a beautiful facility with everything you could possibly want. It's a gorgeous facility. Go see it if you haven't been there yet.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was 37 years as a secret, and now we're out there in the public, and we love it. We're the only gay and lesbian library that's located in a public building in the world that's supported by the city and the county. Thank you, Broward County. Thank you, City of Fort Lauderdale. Okay, we're done. All right, so Michael and the white trash story.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I'll stop.
What do you want to know? Because I've written so much about him. What do you want to know about the white trash story, Michael?
Well, I mean, the camo clothes, the cars that don't start,
cars don't start in the backyard. They're sitting in the backyard. He's got a boat sitting back there for more than a decade now. In fact, me and his neighbor had a bet going on. She said, "I bet it's going to be sitting back there for a year." I said, "5." She owes me $100. It's over a decade it's been sitting there. You know, you talk about these things, you write about these things, and you hope somebody's going to find humor in them. And because I certainly do, I look around at everybody, you know, everything around me, and I'm like, really? Really? This is really what happened in my life.
Well, you know, it could be worse. I guess it could be like, you know, I mean, maybe you wouldn't even see the place, you know, maybe that, you know, because at least they let you see it and go to buffets and things like that. But describe the scene in the book. I'm sure, if you don't have it, I've got it in front of me, where you say, "I is white trash."
That's a conclusion I've come to. After going through, things that I'm looking at in my own life, I do like the Waffle House. I don't like guns, but Michael does like guns.
Oh my God.
I don't have a cell phone belt clip. You know, that's certainly white trash, but Michael's identical twin brother. Yes, identical twin brother.
Oh my God.
You know, Michael's family goes for their family portrait, and it's his mother and father dressed very nicely in the front, sitting down, and Michael's on the one behind his mother, and his older brother, not the twin, is on the other side, and in the middle is his identical twin brother, shirtless, with his gut hanging out, and it's framed in our house.
You are joking. No?
No, I'm not joking.
So what funny thing happened to you today? I mean, it seems like I've read all three books because I have no life, and they're all little vignettes. So
they're all short little reads.
They're like, you know, you've got a part here. Go ahead. Yeah, what happened to you funny today? Because you've got to be a magnet. There's some force that does this to you, right?
Yeah. Today, I don't know about today, but this past weekend, I had a friend of mine visiting from New Jersey for the first time down here to Fort Lauderdale. You know, it's a great. Actually, this is gonna somehow end up in book 4 sometime in the future. Let's just call him Mary to give him a little anonymity. He came for his first visit, so he's as untouched as a turn signal in an Asian's car. You know, so I take him to all the gay bars. I take him to all the gay bars in Fort Lauderdale. I take him to the Sidelines and Ramrod, which was an eye-opening experience for him.
Right.
And you know, Bill's, all of them. And
okay.
We go and we see this one guy in the bar, and my friend is a little older, you know, he's in his late 40s, and he's ogling this one muscle boy, and he's got no shirt on, and I'm like, Richard, sorry, I just told his name. I'm like, Mary.
Mary, right.
The only way you're going to get those muscles is if you go to the old Florida seafood house and order them off the menu. You're not getting that. You know, so for the last thing, I take him to the boardwalk, and it's the last stop on the whirlwind tour of Fort Lauderdale. And so I have done my job in corrupting him, and I've done my good deed for 2011. So somehow I'm going to incorporate – there's a lot of funny little details that happened all weekend that need to go in, but
right.
Those things are the kinds of things that attract me.
Do you take notes?
I don't know how I'm attracted to it, but they just come to me.
It's got to be. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I've had a few funny things happen, but it would take me, you know, it would take me my entire life to write it into one book because my life was much more boring than yours. Trust me, much more boring than yours. So do you take notes or do you just have a great memory?
I have a good memory. What I need to do, and I do this lately, is I just make a note of like maybe one word, and I write down the one word, and it will remind me of what happened. Otherwise, I have these stories just floating in my head that I don't remember for months and months at a time. And then I will say, oh, you know what, I got to write that down. So I write down a note, and then I remember, and then I go from there. I can take, you know, I can build a story from there. I can remember the entire thing in detail in my head, but I cannot, for the life of me, the next day remember. I said, oh, yesterday I had a great idea for a story. What was that?
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not how my mind works. It'll come back to me, but it's just going to take a while.
Right. So you have a trigger. You make yourself a trigger, a word that you write down, and that just
that's
the
enough.
Whole thing. Yeah, that's great. That's a great gift. Okay, I'm going to read a quote that when I read the book, I don't even know which book this came out of, but I wrote it down. It's by the way, it's on my wall, stuck with a safety pin to the wall, which is okay. And you want to hear, I'm going to read it out loud, and I'm going to, like, I remember it out by heart, but here it is.
Okay.
If it's a gay party, do not serve corn if you or any of your guests are planning on having sex later. Those are such good words to live by. You know, you realize that distills almost all of your books. You know?
Yeah, it pretty much does. In fact, it is almost the title of this book.
We're going to talk about that.
That's from the last book.
It is? Okay.
And it's from a story called Curtains for You.
Curtain.
And that story is a little bit, it's Curtains for You. It's
right.
A story that basically gives party etiquette to the gay set and the homosexual set and the heterosexual set too, but mainly the gay set. And that line is probably the most telling.
It is. It's like the whole book, you know. It's like, that's right, Yeah, Curtains
and
for
I
You was
I realized that people will – look at the title of this book, and it's very un-PC. I realize that, and it uses a word that people find very un-PC.
Right.
And I was shying away from it, but I don't use that term the way that people think that, you know, that it was traditionally used in the past. I don't use it to talk about people with handicaps or people who are challenged in any way, because in one of the stories, Plight of the Moron, there is a girl with Down syndrome, and she is the most civilized and most well-behaved person in the whole story.
Right. I remember
you
that
know?
One. Right.
So she's the only one that comes across good or, you know, with any ounce of etiquette in the whole story.
Exactly.
Know, so I don't use it that way. And I do explain that in the last chapter, that I know that it's on PC and I know there's a stigma to the word. But you know what? Sometimes I just act retarded, and people around me do too. And that's what—if you can't find the funny in it,
right?
You know, that's what life is all about. You got to find the funny.
Right. Well, I did want to say I was not getting it until I got to the very last chapter where it's the very last chapter, which is, and as I said, it was a quick read for me. So I got to the last chapter, and I went, oh, that's what that's about. Yeah, it's
now I get it. Yeah.
You know, I know, okay, I'm slow. I'm 61. I've been, you know, the brain cells, you know, I'm beyond that, you know.
Doing just fine, Nate, believe me.
Okay, all right, fine. But anyway, I understood that it wasn't really, you weren't really using it as, you know, now you're one of those people. You're saying that people act in the stupidest fucking ways. I can say that on radio. You know, and it's the way they act, and it's sometimes temporary and sometimes permanent. But
exactly right.
And I've been here 11 years, so I know from acting retarded. I mean, you know, I've lived here. And you know, the only thing that's missing from all of your humor is this would be like either a very tragic book or a very hilariously biting book if you were single and dating. Can you imagine what that would be like?
Oh, see, but there's good tips in there for people who are single and dating.
There are. Right, but from the other side. You know, I give tips. I've been partnered for a long time. And so when I give tips, it's like, you know, nobody listens. I mean, does anyone listen to your tips?
I think
ever?
They do. I mean, I've actually had people come back and say, I'm never going to serve corn at a gay party again.
All right, that kind of tip. Right,
you know,
right.
Or wipe my hands on your curtains.
Right, well, those
you
kind
know?
Of tips. But, right, okay, I guess we give different kind of tips.
But
I give
tips?
Like don't, you know, don't talk about your ex for 45 minutes when you meet the guy.
Oh, yeah, people do. In fact, you know, this might be a little self-promotional, but I'm writing a series of columns now that are appearing in some publications. Can I say
Sure, go ahead. No,
and,
any fine. on my show.
They appear in the Erie Gay News. They're all gay publications. The Erie Gay News, Ion Arizona. I forget the title of the one in Iowa, but there's one in Iowa, and Diversity Rules, and a few other online and print publications. And they are little funny articles, you know, 500 to 700 words. The first one is opening lines, and it has tips about what not to say when you're trying to pick somebody up at a bar.
Oh,
like things that I've used or things that I've used on, that have been used on me. Things not to do when you're taking someone home for a date. You know, those are the types of articles. If you want to find those, you can go online to Diversity Rules or Ion Arizona or Erie Gay News.
Uh-huh.
And you can pull up the articles, just put my name in, and they'll come up. And those are little articles. If you want to get a taste of my readings before you actually go out and get the book, if that's the kind of thing that you're into. You know, because some people want to, you know, want a little taste. And they can get a little taste, of course, on Tuesday night.
Sure, that's exactly right. And do you want to give out your email address right now so people can get a hold of you and buy the book? Go ahead, real slowly, because we have retarded people here.
And on this end, too, so... It's Robs Hoff, you got to spell it, R-O-B as in boy, S as in Sam, H-O-F as in Frank, at AOL.com.
Okay, Robs Hoff at AOL.com. Okay, I said it slowly with my radio voice. Great. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. You know, it would be, you know, you remind me of another comic who is a single Jewish guy living in L.A. named Jason Stewart. I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's kind of an actor.
Yeah.
He's been in a
I'm
lot
not
of.
Jewish, though.
I know. Could you just finish? Let me finish. But he does a lot of Jewish self-depreciation jokes. And you're not self-depreciating. You really are very proud of your feelings and your stuff. So you're completely different than Jason, of course, and then he's single, and so he's got all the single angst, you know, but your humor is very similar as far as the wry and, you know, how gay men react to things. And
I have read about him, but I have never seen anything that he's done.
Okay. I will.
Okay,
when I meet you on Tuesday again, when we meet up on Tuesday, I'm going to give you one of his new DVDs that I have. I just interviewed him, and he sent me some you're not supposed to sell it. Don't show it to anybody. But he's got a new stand-up thing that's going to be. It's an HBO special that's coming up called Making It to the Middle, and I'll give you the DVD, and it's hilarious. And you'll see some of the types of things, his types of observations of life are very similar to yours. Anyway, so... I read all three books, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you never eat at home or you're always having a party. Do you ever, just, you know, is that, like, true?
Oh, we do that a lot, yeah. We do that a lot. I do eat at home a lot more now because my mom, who actually is the subject of one of the stories in the last book, it's the only story that I ever wrote that's not funny. And I say in the story, you know, if you're looking for a laugh in the story, just skip right through it and just do it. It's just something that I had to put in there. My mom passed, and I got my dad now, he's living with me and my partner. We actually bought a house down here with a cabana house so he could have the back house all to himself.
Right. No, we've done that. But we've done that.
Yeah, it works out. Works out great. But I am eating home a lot more now because, you know, I've got to feed him every night too. So, yeah.
Right.
I do eat out a lot, as much as possible, not just in the bedroom.
Well, no, it seems like you have parties. It's not like you eat at restaurants. It seems like every single story is about getting together around the pool, getting together for an occasion, a birthday party.
Well, that's when most of the tragic things happen to my friends, you know, and I don't know if I'm actually making them happen or not. That's for you to decide when you read the book.
Well, yeah, I just think there's a force around you. I think you've got this magnet of crazy people around you that just come and they perform for you. You're Ringling or Barnum or whatever.
But I love them all. I mean, and they all still talk to me, even though they've been the subject of derogation and horrible, horrible
they have been.
Jokes and, you know, jokes that I've played on them throughout the years. They all talk to me, everyone.
And it's not like it's the descriptions that are funny. It's they do dumb things.
I know.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's true.
I mean, my friend George, he's in this latest book, where Fake and Bake. For years, he was telling us, I made these potato chips at home. No, you didn't. We have, you know, we all like, oh, yeah, they're delicious. Oh, I made these mozzarella balls. Nobody makes mozzarella balls at home.
No, no.
He bought them at ShopRite. He put them, you know, or
Costco.
At Publix. He put them in Costco. He put them in a, that's right, it was Costco. He put them in a tin. He bought them first, it was Memorial Day. He stuck red, white, and blue flags in and brought them over and said, hey, I made these at home. No, you didn't.
I know.
You lying sack.
I know. It's so funny.
He did that for years, and it was just to the point where one of my friends, my friend Carol, was, oh, he's making this stuff, Robert. No. No, he's not. In fact, he bought the spanakopita over at Costco because I saw the package there this morning.
Oh.
No, Robert, he made those. So to prove Carol wrong, Michael, my partner Michael, bought a box of the spanakopita, heated them up for 10 minutes in the oven at home, went over to her house, served them, told Carol that they're the exact same ones that George made from the same recipe that George gave him. Carol's like, oh, yeah, they're delicious. Oh, these are homemade, I can tell. When we're leaving that night, Michael pulls the box of spanakopita from Costco out of his jacket pocket and says, Carol, here's the spanakopita that George made. And even after having admitted before that they were the same as George's, she said, I knew they were different. They tasted store-bought. George's tasted homemade.
Oh, my God. You know what? People believe what they want to believe.
They do.
What they want to believe. I mean, look at all the guys that go out and, you know, they're sevens and they're looking at tens or sixes and they're looking at tens. And they never stop.
We can all look.
I know, but they really think that one day they're going to hit it big, and they're never, ever. It's never going to happen. But you know, especially in Fort Lauderdale, unless you're a seven with $3 million, then
or
you're
a four with $3 million. I mean, come on.
Yeah, okay. Then you're only a seven.
A four with $3 million adds up to ten.
That's only that only adds up to seven in Fort Lauderdale. We've had inflation here. $1 million doesn't do what it used
to
do.
Yeah, but we're in a depression right now. It adds up to ten.
Okay, right, because you can get some good real estate. Yeah,
yes,
you can't buy a car and get a nice suite on an Atlantis cruise, but you can get a nice house. Right, that's true. Yeah, living in Fort Lauderdale is very unusual. Could you tell our people that aren't – a lot of our listeners are all over the world, actually, and so they don't know what is so uniquely, hilariously funny about – funny and tragic, I'll use your word, about living here. Could you sum that up for them? What is it like to really
How tragic and
funny it is to live here.
It's tragic. Well, first of all, when I first started coming here, which was in the late 80s, and I was three. Late 80s. It was a different scene. They were still having spring break here, and it was a real big party town. Now, it's become a lot more gay since then. I mean, and that's the good part.
Right.
The bad part is, or what's really tragic about it is that everybody who's here seems to be looking for the be-all and end-all in life. You know, there's, they don't seem to realize that you don't have to look any further than yourself to find that. But all the gay men that I've met here are looking for that big score, that one night score that's going to score them for the rest of their life. And that's tragic.
Oh my God.
That's tragic.
Have you ever been to the Starbucks on Wilton Drive, in Wilton Manors?
I have been there. I don't drink coffee, but I have been there.
Is that the most desperate group of people you've ever met? Seen?
That and Java Boys over at the Alibi.
Cross Street.
Yeah.
Desperate. It's incredible. Here we are during the day. I go in there I'm a coffee addict. I go in, get my coffee, get back in the car, and go on my way. While I'm waiting for my coffee, I see some of the most desperate people I have ever seen in my life. Like, you know, if they don't find anybody by 11 o'clock, they're losers.
Yeah, well, they're going to go over to Java Boys and try over there.
Right, till noon. And then they can start
somewhere else afterwards.
And then they can start drinking. Yeah, it's hard to explain to people who don't live here, who just visit here, what it's like to live here every single day. And, you know,
but
shop
it is gorgeous. There is a huge, huge gay population here.
Yes.
You'll never lack for people to talk to You know, my friend Mary came down last week and felt more comfortable than he's ever felt in his life.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it was just, it's,
right.
it's a lifestyle that you don't get a lot of places, a lot of other places in the world.
No, there's a feel here, and it is very comfortable. You can mm-hmm. stare at anyone at any gym. There are no straight gyms here, even the ones like Bally's and LA Fitness. There are no straight gyms here because
and
of
Bally. I call it Bally's.
Bally's. Well, I mean, it is true, and you can, you know, you probably could write a whole book about Bally's or Starbucks or
yeah.
Java Boys or just, you know, Georgie's on Thursday nights, which people here just don't understand what it's like to live here all the time and be so comfortable, and you just it kind of numbs you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It makes you. When I leave here now, I have to be more guarded.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I've become
yeah.
so comfortable that I have to be guarded when I go other places.
I know. I have a straight son who used to live in South Beach, now lives in Minneapolis, who used to come visit me or come to dinner. We would walk around. We lived in Wilton Manors, and he would walk around. And he goes, "Dad, this is gay Disneyland, isn't it?"
Almost. There's more rides to be had here than there are in Disneyland.
There are a lot of rides, yeah. So speaking from somebody with a relationship to somebody in a relationship, is it harder to have a relationship here than it is in a place where there aren't a lot of gay people looking over your shoulder?
I think it is. I think it is for people that have not been in their relationship for a long time.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been – it's going to be 17 years next month for us. How long have you – how long for you?
Nine.
Well, that's time. Getting up there too. 17 years. Here's the thing. There's two things. Number one – you don't want to cheat on your partner because you're afraid of catching something. That's
oh
the big thing.
Oh, my God, yes.
And number two, I don't have the time or the patience to train a new guy, you know? I got this guy right where I want him. Michael and I have been together for 17 years. He knows what I like. He knows what I don't like. I don't have the patience to train somebody else. That's it, you know?
And do you have friends that, like, run after really young guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you just shake
yeah,
your head?
I got plenty of those. And the weird thing about Fort Lauderdale is there's not a lot of young gays here.
No.
There
no.
aren't. There's some 20 somethings that are gay, but I think the vast majority is 40 plus.
Right, you're chicken here or close to it. Seriously?
Yeah, I haven't been chicken in a long time. Sorry.
No, yeah, compared to you've been to tropics lately.
I have been there. I had to take my friend Mary over there so she could see that, you know, she can fit right in.
You know what, though? Whenever I was feeling down before I met my partner, I would just, like, go into Chardy's or when Chardy's is open or Tropic.
Yeah.
And it was still, like, you know, I'm reasonably okay. Everyone on every bar still would turn around to look at me, and it just made me feel so
oh, I know.
Good. Yeah, it does. They still do that.
I know. They still do it, you know? Yeah. I walked in there once about 4 weeks ago, and I just sat down on a stool because I can't remember her name, but I like the singer, the woman singer that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to listen to a couple of songs, and three guys across the bar from me would not stop looking at me. So I only listened to a song, and I get up because I'm like, I don't really want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to come in here to listen to a song.
Now, remember when I told you when we did the warm-up, when I was doing the sound check on your voice, that this was the fastest 30 minutes of your life? We're down to the last minute. Did you know that?
I don't believe it.
I told you. I do this every week, sometimes twice a week, and every time I do, I tell them that we're down to the last minute, they freak. All right, so parting glances. What is besides the – you know, I took away your big line on the corn because that's like on my wall.
Oh, it's okay.
What is
There's
your parting
plenty more in the books.
Okay, reminding people, 1300, this Tuesday night, October the 11th, 7 p.m., open, free and open to the public. Robert's bringing wine. I'm making cookies and brownies. We're so fucking gay. Anyway, Stonewall Library and Archives, 1300 and Sunrise Boulevard. Parting shots, Robert. Go ahead.
Just, you know, if you're struggling with coming out, I did it when I was very young. I was 10 years old. I was having my 10th birthday. My mother was cutting up the cake. My cousins were there. My sisters were there. My whole family was there. My mother was cutting the cake. She just cut the cake, put it on plates. And it's all boys, but it's really loud. I say to my mom, I said, Mom, will you please pass a piece of cake to a homosexual? She passes it to my father.
I did it when I was very young. I was 10 years old.
Okay. We have 10 seconds left. I want to say goodnight from Fort Lauderdale, and I'll see you all Tuesday night, October the 11th at the Stonewall. Good night, Robert.
Good night, Nate.
Take care.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
See you all next week.
Okay, take care.